number 10, and we need the Lord's help. I'd like to see these altars flooded. I pray that there's one thing between you and the roast over in the fellowship hall. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'd like the Holy Ghost to intervene here today. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 10. I'd like to say thank you to the church here in Hodgenville. And I believe God's doing something, not because I'm here. Amen. You've been praying. You've been seeking God. And last night was evident. Amen. A special touch here. And God would like to help you. And He'd like to see backsliders reclaimed. And you would. Amen. That's the heart of the church. I want to begin starting at verse number 30. Jesus has been asked a question by a lawyer, and he's answering him now. And Jesus said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him into an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was his neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?' And he said, 'He that showed mercy on him.' Then said Jesus unto him, 'Go and do likewise.'" Amen. The book of Jude tonight, chapter number 1. Amen. The book of Jude, chapter number 1. Amen. I want to preach from here. Praise God. Amen. Read this also. Verse 22. "And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Amen. Could you stretch your hands this way? Ask God to help us here this morning. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the compassion of the Lord would rest upon me. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost would fall in this house. That you would help people, Lord, that are in dire straits this morning. They may have a smile on their face. They may have money in their wallet. They may have a good job and live in a nice home and drive a fine car. Lord, when the lights go out at night, they're miserable. Amen. Their life is in disarray. I pray, O Lord, that you would help us to reach out to that one today. We'll give you praise and give you glory for these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen. Glory to God. I'd like to preach on, if the Lord would help me tonight or this morning, I'd like to preach on rescued by the Redeemer's remnant. Amen. Rescued by the Redeemer's remnant. Amen. It is the call. It is the clarion call of the church. Amen. To go after that which is lost. It is the call of the church of the living God. Amen. To have compassion upon those, amen, that are needing compassion. And I read a story one time of a small church. They were near a Bible college, and that is where they selected their pastor from. And they came to a time that they were needing a preacher. So they called one young man. He was a candidate for the church. He came and preached out of Psalms chapter 9. He preached that verse where all nations that forget God
shall be turned into hell. He preached a good message. The board convened, and everybody on the board wanted the young man, but one of the board members, he said, "I don't feel that we need him." The other board members didn't understand it, but they wanted unity, and they wanted it to be a unanimous decision, so therefore, they declined on letting the young preacher come. So they had another candidate the next week from the Bible school. He came. He had preached, ironically, from the same text. "All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell." At the conclusion of his sermon, again, the board convened, Brother David. But this time, everybody voted for the young man. The other board members were taken back. They said, "Tell me, last week the young man preached out of the same text, and you said we didn't need him. And today this preacher preached out of the very same text, and you want him as a pastor." They said, why is it so? He said, last week that preacher came, and he preached that the wicked were going to hell, and he seemed that he was glad about it. But he said, this morning the preacher preached, and he preached it as a sad and a sobering fact that men would die lost without God. I want to tell you this morning, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. Whoever would be my worst enemy, and I pray that I don't have enemies, but I'm sure that I do. I would not wish them, to be cursed forever in eternity. Are you hearing me today? I want to tell you, in 1988, in the late spring of 88, I graduated from FGBI. It was evident, that God had touched my life. I don't say that braggadocious at all. Brother Binkley, went to school with me. But God had blessed me and given me favor. Went out on student ministries and doors had opened. And I went out of from Bible school and immediately began to evangelize. But there was one thing that I learned in life that really, even though I was preaching, even though I was getting anointed, even though doors were opening, there was one thing that I realized in my life. I had not really been tested. I had really not been crushed or broken by the hand of God. Are you hearing me? I developed a sense of hardness, not intentionally. I probably at the time, Brother Taylor, really didn't even realize it. But I tell you, I had bore no scars from the battle. Therefore, I could not communicate like I needed to with people that were broken, people that were crushed, people that were wounded. Because really, I had never been through nothing in my life. My dad had always had a good job, always took care of us. And I began to develop the mentality that I felt like real preaching was a continuous rant and denunciation of sin. I know there are times we must reprove. I know there are times that we must rebuke. I preached on sin the other night. But the difference between Tracy Boyd then and Tracy Boyd now, is that, through the breaking and through the crushing, I have developed a compassion, for those that have been trampled, those that have been discarded, those that have been thrown in the ditch. Are you with me today? I want to tell you what I failed to learn as a young preacher, Brother Suits, is that when sin had been the sinner, had been thoroughly condemned, I had only locked them up in the prison. They were condemned already. And people are not set free, just by me already condemning them when they know they're condemned already. But people are set free, when they know Jesus. I had to learn, amen, brother, not only to preach and give them the diagnose how wicked they were before God. I had to tell them there was a remedy, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So I stand before you this year at the 43rd homecoming here in Hodgenville, Kentucky. I stand before you now as a man, Brother David Webb, that has took some hits from the enemy. Amen. I stand, even now, being able to communicate with people that struggle. Amen. People that are laying in the ditch this morning, and the priest is walking by on one side. Amen. Come on here. And the rabbi's prime and the Levite is passing by on the other side. You may feel that nobody understands you. You may feel that nobody cares. You may battle depression. Amen. I used to couldn't have any sympathy or compassion on people because I never have had a struggle with depression. But I want to tell you, in these later years of life, it's some of the things that God used to break me. Amen. I know what it is now to battle depression. Depression is something you just don't shake out of. There's not a 1, 2, 3 step. I want to tell you tonight. Amen. But if you're depressed this morning, don't despair. There is a Savior. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. Amen. I know what it is to feel like you can't get up and walk. Huh? When you needed a hand, you got a foot. Oh, help me preach. But I also know what it is, even to have a Samaritan come by. And I'll never forget the Samaritans in my life. Even that when I was down, they came to where I was. They got down on their hands and knees. They poured in the oil and the wine. Oh, come on, somebody. Help me now. I want to tell you, we are the Redeemer's remnant. And we must be a church of compassion. We cannot afford to be indifferent to the things that, amen, that are besetting people. Even C.M. Ward said it like this. He said, compassion is pity with a price tag on it. I like to say, compassion is love in action. Oh, I need to preach. Amen, brother. It is the heart linked to the hands. We are the body of Christ. We are the blood bought. We are the called out ones. We are the sanctified. We're His hand. We're His eyes. We're His voice. We're His feet. I'm telling you, we live in a world today that is hurting. We live in a world today that is broken. We live in a world today that has been crushed. Amen. And I'm telling you, amen, the Redeemer's remnant, amen, must go to where they are. We can't afford to pass by on the other side. We have got to go where they are. Help me, Jesus. Amen. We live in a planet of agony. Are you hearing me? Broken lives. Broken hearts. Broken dreams. Broken families. Are you hearing me? We live in a planet of agony where people are wounded. Joseph Parker said, preach to the broken heart and preach to the wounded spirit, because there's one in every pew. I want to tell you, when your heart's broke, Brother David, you can't, amen, you can't function right. Amen. When your heart is broke, amen, it's hard to see clearly. Come on now. There are people sitting under the sound of my voice. You've been wounded domestically. Amen. Maybe your spouse walked off and left you. Amen. You suffered the bitter pang of divorce. Amen. Children that are here today, they're in a, amen, a broken home. Amen. In the midst, being pulled this way and that way. There are people that have been wounded physically. Amen. Whether it was being beat by domestic abuse. Amen. Or you've been, amen, molested. Amen. Physically. Maybe it is verbal abuse. But nonetheless, you sit in this this pew, amen, you see, you feel cheap. You feel soiled. You feel like nobody's interested in you. But I come to tell you, you've got a preacher here. Amen, I didn't come to preach my own agenda. I come to tell you that Jesus is still a Savior. And I'm a part of the Redeemer's remnant. Amen, and I want to come to where you are. I pray that the power of Jesus' name and the power of the blood of the Lamb will flow to where you are, and you can be set free and given a new heart and a new start here today. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord.
Amen. My good brother friend, Brother Randy Webb. Amen. We talked this morning, and hey, hallelujah. And there's a story that he tells. He's probably told it here if he's been here. Amen. As much as you've said, but amen, I'm going to tell it again. I was there. Amen. When this incident took place, not with him at the time, but I was staying in his home at that time. He was coming home, and that dog ran out in front of him, and he hit that little dog. This little black dog. He killed it dead as a hammer. And the little boy come running off the porch saying, "Blackie! Blackie! You killed Blackie!" Brother Randy said he already felt bad, but now he's feeling real bad. Are you hearing me? Come on now. That little boy come running up, "You killed Blackie." He's just a crying. Reached down, grabbed that black dog. He went up, looked at it, said, "You ain't Blackie, you dumb dog." He then threw it down and turned around and walked away. I want to tell you, I don't want to get to the place that I'm indifferent to people. If they're not in my family, if they're not in my circle, I come to tell you, there's still hope in the blood of Jesus. There's still hope in the cross. He's interested in you, and we've come today to rescue. I'm trying to tell you, and some making a difference, pulling them out of the fire, having compassion. I come with my firefighting equipment on to reach out to somebody and help you this morning. Oh, glory to God. Lift your hands, church. Ask God. I need to pray in church this morning. Hallelujah. I refuse today to leave you laying there half dead. You read that. He said he was there half dead. That means if he was half dead, he was half alive. Oh, help me preach. There was a part of him saying, "I can't make it." There was a part saying, "I can't do it." Amen. But there was another part crying out saying, "If somebody'd come to where I am." And he looked up, and the priest walked by. And he looked up, and the Levite walked by. Oh God, help me preach here. Amen. We're kind of like the German Orthodox Church in World War II. Amen. When Hitler and those wagon loads were coming by their churches, you could hear the wailing and the crying and the people crying for help that were being taken to the death camps. Them German churches did not agree with it, but they felt like they couldn't do nothing about it. So they turned up the pipe organs. Amen. And they turned up the music. Amen. To drown out the wail. Amen. Of those crying out that needed help. I'll tell you, God deliver the church that we do not become indifferent to the cries of the hurting. Amen. Turn up the music. Have another camp meeting. Have another revival. That's good, but we can't be indifferent to the man that's laying in the ditch and he's half dead. Half dead, but half alive. Whew. Amen. In 1995, I believe it was, amen, on the Mobile Bay Bridge, that bridge that leads from the port of Mobile over to Daphne, Alabama, a thick fog had settled in that morning. Amen. And the traffic was heavy. A trucker was going a little too fast. Tried to tap his air brakes. When he did, his trailer jackknife. And simultaneously, there was a 100-car pileup. Everybody there was not a lot of casualties, I don't believe. But I read of this one, and it chilled my blood.
There was a school teacher. She was fine. Amen. They come to her. She rolled her window down. She said, I need your help. I can't get out. My door's jammed and my legs are pinned. They said, hang on. We'll get you out. But they didn't have any tools. But while they were waiting just a few moments, the car caught on fire. Amen. She began to say, please, somebody get me out. Them brave men did the best they could. Amen. But they couldn't get to her. They couldn't get the door unjammed. Amen. Come on now. And brother, the flames began to lick that babe, that woman's body. And she looked out. Amen. To them, and with a cry in her eyes and in her voice, she said, please, amen, would somebody help me? Amen. A man wrote to the Mobile Press Register. He said, I can't forget it. I've had nightmares about it. I see her face. I hear her cry. And I could not do nothing about it. I want to tell you, you may be in the fires of sin this morning, but I'm a reaching for you. I want to pull you out of the fire. The fire of addiction. The fires of infidelity. The fires of lust. The fires of bitterness. I'm reaching for you.
Oh, I feel the Lord. Lord, I need you to settle in here this morning. Brother Adam Beach, a preacher friend of mine, I've lost contact with him through the years. Amen. He was a preacher friend of mine. He had a cousin by the name of Jimbo. He was working with Jimbo on the job at this time. They were construction workers. And he was taking a load of something over to the work site. He was leaving. He stuck his head through the door and he said, Brother Adam, or he probably called him Adam, but he said, I'm going. He meant to deliver this and I'll be back in 30 minutes and let's take lunch. Brother Adam said, yeah, all right, sounds good. Get back, we'll take lunch. He left. In just a few moments, even minutes, the radio dispatch went off. There was a man screaming. He said, the truck's on fire. He said, Adam, the truck's on fire. He said, please, Jimbo. And he was screaming. He said, okay. And he hung up the phone. He immediately called the ambulance and the power company and the fire department. Then he turned on his knees and began to pray. He'd been working on him, trying to get him to come to church. He buried his head there in the desk chair. And then a few minutes, the dispatch was over. Amen. They come back over the airway. They said, the fire's out. Amen. And then the power has been disconnected. But Jimbo's dead. Amen. He said, how? He said he was able to get out of the truck. But when his feet hit the ground, 70 through 200 volts of electricity, amen, went through his body. He staggered. He stretched toward Brother Adam's baby brother and said, please help me. Amen. And fell over dead. Amen. His baby brother, amen, had nightmares for months and months. Amen. Seeing his cousin saying, help me. And he couldn't help him. Amen. But what tormented Brother Adam is that he wasn't able to reach and pull him out of the fires of sin. I want to tell you, I'm reaching for you this morning. Amen. You don't have to die lost. Hell was not prepared for you. It was prepared for the devils and the angels. God won't send you there. You'll send yourself if you don't make the right choice. But this preacher's got his firefighting equipment on, and I'm trying to pull you out.
Oh, Holy Ghost, settle in this house. Holy Ghost, settle in this house. Settle in this house. Oh, would you lift your hands, church? Ask God to help me. Ask God to help me. Ask God to help me. Oh, hallelujah. Jude cried. Brother Rick Binkley. And of some having compassion. Making a difference. Pulling them out of the fire. Amen. I didn't come this morning to sit in the spiritual fire department and argue who started the fire. Argue about who's responsible for starting the fire. I didn't come trying to find the best method to get you out. I said, I'm going to put all my fire of fighting equipment, and I'm going to preach to a people that I've never preached to before, and I'm going to reach for you. You that are wounded, you that are hurt, you that are nursing grudges and bitterness. Amen. Life has gave you a raw deal. Amen. Come on now. You remember it's homecoming. You can remember the power of God falling. You remember the songs of Zion. You remember praying around these altars. Amen. Feeling the touch of God. Amen. Today you're a long way from God. You never intended to go that far. You never intended to end up in the situation that you're in. You're lying in the ditch. You feel half dead. Amen. But I'm pleading with that part of you that is half alive. Get up in Jesus' name. Amen. Come back to the old landmark. Come back to the place you first believed. The blood still has power. His forgiveness is still rich and full and free. Get up. I said get up and come back to Jesus.
Brother David, I'm just preaching my heart. I'm just throwing out here on the pulpit. And I'm preaching my heart. Oh, God. Woo! Amen. I remember right after 9/11, they put up a billboard in Monroe, Louisiana. And I don't know if the photo was of 9/11 or if it was the Oklahoma City bombing. But there was a firefighter coming out of the wreckage. He was covered in ash. Suit was all over his face. He had a baby in his arms. Amen. And the caption said, when others walked out, he walked in. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Your spouse may have walked out on you. The world may have walked out on you. You may feel betrayed. You may feel hurt. A man can bear the infirmities in his body, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it? Oh, I feel like preaching. Amen. I come to tell you, the world's walked out on you. Amen. Come on now. Amen. But Jesus wants to walk in. He's calling your name. He sent this preacher to preach this message, to walk in the flames where you're at. And you say, I can't ever be anything again. I'm telling you, that's a lie of the devil. Amen. Reach out for my hand. Let me pull you out of the fire. Let me pick you up out of the ditch. You can believe again. You can dream again. Woo.
Amen. D.L. Moody, I'm getting ready to close. I'm not going to be much longer. Give me a few moments. Amen. I'm not going to hold you long.
D.L. Moody tells a story about his nephew. He come into his office. He said, Unc, what you preaching Sunday?
D.L. Moody said, I'm preaching from John chapter 18, verse 37. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world.
He said, Unc, why do you think I was born?
They began a discourse and talked about it. After a while, the young boy, not being fully satisfied, he left the room and went out the door. As he walked down the street and round to the corner, there was a theater on fire. He assisted with the rescue. He had brought out 13 people and saved them. He went in for the 14th, Brother David, and the timber fell. Amen. Hit him. Amen. Knocked him unconscious. They did pull him out. Got him to the hospital. He was unconscious there in the hospital when word got to D.L. Moody. He arrived and the boy had gained consciousness just for a moment. And the last words to his uncle was this, Uncle, I know now, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world to save those 13. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, he lost his life. Amen. But because he was willing to lose his life, amen, others gain life. Come on now. Amen. I believe for this cause I came into the world, and by the providence of God, amen, Pastor Webb had me come. Amen. But I'm here to pull you out of the fire. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you can live for God. He can make all things new. He can take away the misery. He can take away the heartache.
Oh, you're tired of the show. Smiling when you feel like frowning. Laughing when you feel like crying. Smiling. Huh? While you're at the movies, Hollywood sedates you for 2.5 hours. Then you go home. You're all by yourself. You turn the light out. And it's you and yourself. And God begins to talk to you. And you say, oh God, don't let me die lost. I know if I die lost, I'm going to go to hell. Please, Lord, let me wake up in the morning. You wake up in the morning, you go through the game again. You smile when you feel like frowning. You laugh when you feel like crying. You're half dead. You don't feel no reason to live, but I'm telling you, I'm sensing in somebody, you're half alive. Come on now, reach out your hand. Amen. Come on, reach out your hand. Let me rescue you. Let me pull you out of that inferno. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. After the World War II era, there was a young fighter pilot. He was 22 years old. He got out of the military, and he joined the commercial flight business. He had a comfortable job in life. But when Vietnam broke out, this young man was 42 years old. And he had this gnawing feeling in his gut that he needed to do something again for his country. So he went down to try to re-enlist with the Air Force. Amen. They would not take him in. They said there's no high-ranking positions left. So he went to the Army and tried to get in with them. They said, if we take you, we'll have to de-rank you. He said, I'm fine with that. Amen. I'm not in this for, amen, a ranking. Amen. He said, but I do want to tell you, I can fly anything you put me in. Amen. They said, we're going to give you a Huey helicopter. He said, what is a Huey helicopter and what is my mission? They said, we want you to be a dust-off pilot and we want you to fly in and pick up the platoons that are stranded. Amen. And pick up the wounded soldiers. He served 1 year. Amen. Went back home. He had developed a disease in Nam. So he decided to go back. When he went back, Brother Suits, the fighting had intensified. It was the year of 68 when the tent offensive was on. And dust off pilot 88 became famous. Michael Norvik was his name. One battle in particular, men were in a rice field. All the dust off pilots were ordered out. The firepower was so hot, amen, that the men would not even get out of the grass and wave. Are you hearing me? Amen. They said, we can't go in. But there was one man by the name of Michael Norvik. While them men were pinned down, they would look in the sky and dust off pilot 88. Amen. Was circling. Finally, one man got the courage and he stood up and on his motion, Norvik lowered that chopper. Amen. And rescued them men. Nine troops he rescued. He went in 4 different times. The last time they shot him with shrapnel, it tore his limb off. But with mere willpower, amen, he rescued every man. Amen. And kept that chopper in the air. When he got back to the United States, the President Nixon awarded him with a Medal of Honor and said, you have gone above and beyond your call of duty. I want to tell you, church, I believe it's time that we go above and beyond our call of duty. There are people here this morning, they are hurting, they are broken, they need a church not to look down their nose at them, but to reach out their hand. Hallelujah. And pick them up. Woo. Lift your hands. Ask God to help me. Church, are you praying? I said, church, are you praying? Woo. In October of 1983, the Army Rangers and the Delta Force were given an assignment to remove a despot who was interfering with food supplies in Somalia. This assignment was to take 19 minutes. But in the midst of some of the most hostile fighting, amen, since Vietnam, a Black Hawk helicopter went down. And from that moment on, everything was different. Their creed was no man left behind. It was supposed to be a 19-minute mission. It ended up being 19 hours plus. Amen. Everybody was out. But one man by the name of Michael Durant. Now the firepower had stopped. And the guns were silent. Amen. Isaiah said it like this. For a small moment have I forsaken thee. Amen. You may be forsaken this morning. You may feel like God doesn't know where you're living. You may feel like God doesn't know your name. But Isaiah didn't stop there. But he said, but with great mercies, he will gather thee up. I'm telling you, the mercy of God is higher than the heavens. Amen. Where sin does abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. Church, can you say amen? I'm a reaching for the sinner. Michael Durant was stranded. Everything was silent, probably in his mind. He was thinking, they've left me. They broke their promise. They broke their word. Amen. But all of a sudden, the loudspeakers begin to boom out in English. And the enemy probably didn't understand what they were saying. But they were saying, Michael Durant, we won't leave you. We won't forsake you. Even the power of the United States Army is behind you. Amen. And we are going to rescue you. I want to tell you, sinner friend. I want to tell you, backslider. We will not forsake you. We will not leave you. And all the power of heaven and the cross of Jesus Christ is behind us. His blood, it still reaches to the highest mountain. It still flows to the lowest valley. Come on, somebody. Woo. I believe I hear heaven's loudspeaker saying, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Listen, listen, backslider. If you listen, you hear his voice. It's the shepherd. He's calling your name. He's trying to let you know it's not over. There's still hope. Amen. He can make a difference. Michael Norvek saved over 5,500. Amen. Soldiers. But there was another Huey helicopter dust-off pilot that was a lot more famous. His name was Patrick Henry Brady. He was the most recognized dust-off pilot in Vietnam. Amen. Like I said, Norvik had rescued many more than him. But Brady had become famous for his willing to fly in adversity. The fog and the rain would get so thick. Sister Boyd, get ready with the song here shortly. Amen. Would get so thick that you could not see. One day, two men were located in what was known as Death Valley. Their whole regiment had been killed. It was foggy. People were saying you can't go in. Amen. But Brady, who was not afraid to fly in adversity, he said, I'll go. And he developed, Brother Doug Webb, the system of putting that helicopter up on its nose and blowing the fog back. Amen. With them big propellers. Are you hearing me? He went in and rescued those two men. And there was another day when the whole regiment was pinned down. They were about to be slaughtered. They screamed for a dust off. Amen. The radio shout was, we can't do it. But Henry said, I'll go. He recruited three other pilots. He taught them how to do it. But they chickened out. But not Brady. Come on now. Amen. Others he was willing to save. Even at the cost of losing his own life. Come on now. He made 15 trips into the heat of that battle. Amen. But he blew the fog back and rescued every one of them men. I want to tell you, Hodgenville,
Pentecostal church. I think it's time we blow the fog back. I think it's time we pray until the fog is pushed back. And let's go after them. They're in the ditch. They're in the fire. They're broken. They're wounded. And they're hurting right now. I'm almost through. I really am. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Can you hear it in the spirit? I hear a Huey helicopter. Look up. There's a dust-off pilot. He's circling in here. He's circling in here. He's left the 99, shut them in the fold. And he's going after that one that is lost. Jesus is circling this place. He's calling your name. He's reaching out his hand to you. Oh, come on, sinner friend. Don't turn him away. He's done you nothing but good. Come on, Sister Boyd. Church, lift your hands and pray. Come on, church, pray. Blow the fog back. There are people here wounded today and they're hurt and they're broken. There's even people that are saved and they're tired and they're foot sore and they're weary and they're needing a dust off. Whew. Come on now. I'm telling you, there's a dust off in the air. Fellow soldier, you may have took a bullet. You may have took a bullet and don't even know it. But I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to take you to the medic. I'm here to take you to the great physician. I'm here to take you to that fountain that is filled with blood. I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to take you to the medic. I got my fire. Did you hear him? He's circling. He's circling. You've heard that story about them two brothers that were in the same platoon. Maybe it was best friends. They were fighting. They got to come under heavy fire, Brother Spurlock. One of them was gunned down. They all jumped into the foxhole. And he looked back. He seen his brother, his best friend. He said, "Sir, I got to go back." It was his brother. He said, "I've got to go back." He said, "You can't go back. The fire is too great. If the arsenal's too heavy." He said, "You don't understand, sir. I've got to go back. That's my brother. When I get home, what am I going to tell my mom and my dad? Please let me go." He said, "I'm telling you, you're crazy. But go." He jumped out of there under the fire, ran, picked his brother up, threw him back on his shoulder, ran back to the foxhole. He made it. He even threw his brother down. He was stone cold dead. The captain got in his face and said, "I told you you were crazy. I told you it was risky. I told you that." He said, "Yes, sir, you did." He said, "But I got to tell you something. When I got there, he was still alive. And he said, I knew you'd come. When you don't feel like anybody else will walk in, Jesus will walk in. He's here. He's came. He's in this service. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there he is in the midst. With every head bowed, every eye closed." Oh Lord, you know whose heart's broken. You know whose spirit's wounded. You know, Lord, I pray you're circling. I pray they'd wave their hand and say, Jesus, I need a dust off. Take me back to the old landmark. Take me back to the place I first believed. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying. Is there someone here? You're wounded. I'm going to walk back here. I don't know you. If you're afraid to walk the aisle, you just wave your hand and say, preacher, I need a dust off. And I'll walk this aisle with you. Is there somebody you don't know Jesus? Is there a backslider in the house? He's circling here. Come on, would you come? Come on. Who was I preaching to? You're hurt, you're wounded, you're broken. Come on, where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? I'm reaching for you. Come on, would you come? Oh, hallelujah. Church, are you praying? Oh, Lord, help me to pull this net. Help me, oh, Lord, to pull this net. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Oh, speak to us, Lord. Hallelujah.
For yea, I've seen the destruction that sin has brought into your life. But I came today to rescue and to restore you to the things that you once knew.
Yes.
Nay, to restore the peace.
Yes.
The joy. Yes. To yourself, for you will never get out of the situation that you're in. But if you will give yourself unto me, saith God, I will intervene on your behalf, and I will work for you and make you my child again, saith Almighty God.
Oh, hallelujah. Wave your hand at him, sinner. He's coming for a dust off. Come on, get up. You don't know Jesus. Come on. This 43rd homecoming. Amen. It wouldn't be no better for you to come on back home to the Father's house. Come on, sinner friend, get up. Come on, backslider. Come on, you're hurting. You're hurting. You've turned to everything. I'm telling you, antidepressants will not do it. They'll sedate it. Painkillers will numb it. But Jesus can cure it. I said, Jesus can cure it. Would you come? Come on, come on. Don't continue on the path you're on. Come on, sinner friend. Come on, backslider. Come on, you that have been wounded. Oh, hallelujah. Church, are you praying? Hallelujah, hallelujah. 30 years ago, these altars would have flooded before the preacher ever got done. Here we are at the very brink of the coming of the Lord, and you're sitting there. You're hurting so bad. You need Jesus so bad. And the devil's lying to you, church. Amen. I may need you to help me. You know these people. You may see God dealing with someone. You know where they used to be. I pray, come on. Wave your hand. Jesus wants to give you dust off. He wants to gather you up. His mercy is from everlasting. Come on. Come on. Come on, church. Pray with me. Pray with me. Come on, church, pray with me. Come on, sinner, come home. Come on, prodigal. Get up out of the pig pen. Get up out of the ditch. Come on. Please, in Jesus' name, get up. Get up as my wife begins to sing and you stand all over the building. I know that I've done the best I could. Someone needs to come. Someone needs to come.